Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
How can you receive a life-changing vision greater than yourself? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here. Welcome to the LeadX Show, where I'm going to help you once again to stand out and to get ahead. How you can get a little bit better every single day. And before we begin, I got to say, there's about 5,000, 6,000, maybe 7,000 of you out there listening to the show today. And I need all of you to visit leadx.org to check out our free training video of the day. It's like a daily surprise for self-improvement. Am I going to be teaching you through video all about inbox zero, or how to run better meetings, or how to lead authentically, or maybe even how to fire someone? Hopefully you never have to, but if you do, you want to do it right. You won't know what I'm teaching today unless you go to leadx.org. Friends, I interview all kinds of leaders on the LeadX Show, from business, nonprofits, military. And today I interview a pastor of a huge multi-campus church out in Arizona, actually not far from where my parents live. You're going to hear a hilarious story of when this pastor snuck into Disneyland in the middle of the night. Not a typical pastor story, and he wasn't the pastor of the church at the time. And we dig deep into how we all need a vision, a dream, a big, hairy, audacious goal, in the words of Jim Collins, in order to motivate ourselves and to build a following. Our challenge of the day, inspired by this conversation, is take a break today. Go out on your lunch hour and just, you know, sit alone in your car. Stop at a park on the way home from work and sit quietly and reflect on your vision, your dream, your goals. Are you slowly dying a little inside the way our guest was? Or are you jumping out of bed each morning pursuing a massive dream? Where are you in your life? Our quote of the day: you can waste your lives drawing lines, or you can live your life crossing them. Shonda Rhimes, who is the showrunner and producer of Grey's Anatomy. Our guest today is the pastor of Dream City Church with 25,000 members and multiple campuses in and around Phoenix, Arizona. He leads the Phoenix Dream Center, which offers hunger relief, medical programs, a shelter for victims of human trafficking, transitional housing for homeless families, and other community services. His brand new book is The Dream-Centered Life, Discovering What Drives You. Our guest is Luke Barnett. Luke, welcome to the show.
It's great to be with you today.
So I'm really looking forward to this conversation and diving into your book. But I have a ritual. I always ask our guests the same first question because I love failure stories. I want to learn from your failures. And so I'm hoping that that's where we can start. Tell me a story about one of your best failures and what did you learn from it?
Well, this story has encouraged so many moms and dads in our church who their kids are far from God or are making a mess of their lives. But when I was 18 years old, I moved from my little sheltered life here in Phoenix, living in my dad's home, and went to Costa Mesa, California, to Southern California College, and playing the baseball team there. So I kind of got around the wrong crowd for a little season of my life. And one night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, three or four guys in the baseball team said, "Hey, let's sneak into Disneyland and see what it's like after hours when it's all closed up." And I'm thinking, I'm not going to sneak into Disneyland. This is crazy, man. I've never been in trouble my entire life. And been out of my dad's home for 1 week now. So here, about an hour later, I found myself scaling that ivy wall, you know, and we get into Disneyland. I think there are four of us, and we're walking around there, and all the lights were on, but nobody was there. We walked through the Haunted Mansion, and it was pretty cool. Walked through Pirates of the Caribbean and where all the gold is and all the treasure chests are. We're thinking there's nobody here on this entire campus. So we start walking on the main streets. And then all of a sudden, a security guard on a bicycle said, "Guys, stop right where you are." And we just take off running in different directions. Well, I found myself on the safari jungle ride area, you know. So I'm hiding in all this brush, and there's a hippopotamus's head right there. And long story short, within, you know, 5 minutes, there were 100 security guards around us. And they took us to a little trailer shed there, and a police lady shows up, and she interrogates us for a little while, and she says to me, well, I'm going to write you a citation for trespassing, then send you home. Well, I reached in my back pocket. I didn't bring my wallet with me. Oh. And so she says, you don't have any identification? I said, no. She said, that's bad news. I got to take you downtown to jail for the night. So I've been out of my dad's house for 1 week, and now I'm going to jail, an Anaheim jail. So I walk in, they book me, they fingerprint me. It was awful. I'm just an 18-year-old kid. And I walk into this jail cell, and there are three guys in the jail cell, and they were the biggest, meanest-looking guys you've ever seen. One guy was a big Native American man. He looked like he was roughed up. There was an African American guy, then a white guy. And they're all talking about why they're in jail that night. And I'm just sitting there listening in the corner. Then they turn to me and say, why are you here? I wanted to say arson or, you know, murder or something like that. But I had to be honest. I had to say, I just wanted to see Mickey. No, I didn't say that. But I spent the whole night in jail that night and went to court the next day. The lesson I learned from all that, I almost got expelled from school, but the lesson I learned from that is stuff rubs. And you really do become a product of the people that you hang around with. And that goes for the positive side and the negative side. I had always been around positive people. And for just a week in my life, I hung out with the wrong crowd. And I did something crazy. So I learned to kind of gather big thinkers around myself and dreamers and people who aspire to do great things for God.
That's an amazing and funny story on a lot of different levels. And what's interesting is, you know, you were hanging out with the wrong few guys that night, but you were the one that ended up going to jail. They just got the ticket and went home, right?
Yeah, well, they actually didn't tell the whole story. They actually got away and they escaped. And I was the only one who was sane enough not to run when the cops came. I just sat there, you know, And so they were the rebels and they got away and I was a good kid and I got caught.
Isn't that funny how that works out? That's amazing. And before we dive into your new book, you know, many of our listeners are first-time managers, they're younger leaders. So, you know, what advice would you give to someone, you know, younger, maybe earlier in their career who wants to become a great leader?
The most practical thing I could tell them is to live your life by schedule. And a little routine I go through every morning. I'm an early riser, so I get in the office maybe 7:30. And first thing I do is I write my to-do list. And it sounds so practical, but I just write the 8 or 10 things I need to accomplish that day. And then right away, I attack those things. And as I attack them, I just begin to scratch those things right off the list as I go along. And when I get in my car at the end of the day, you know, when I drive home, I have a little prayer I pray. I say, God, if anyone can do my job better than I did today, they can have it because I gave my absolute best for you today. I gave it my all. And, you know, what happens so many times, I think, with staffers or young leaders is office opens at 9 o'clock. They roll around 9:05 and they make their way into the break room, get a cup of coffee and a donut and have a few conversations. Before you know it, it's 10 a.m. You finally get settled in your office and you know, do a few tasks, and then 11:15 rolls around, 11:30, it's time for lunch. If you're not careful, you can lose a whole morning just by not living by schedule. So we really try to teach that to our young leaders, that live a life of schedule. My wife can call me any time of the day, and she'll pretty much know right where I am because I live my life by, you know, that kind of schedule. So I think you get a lot more accomplished for your purpose in life when you live by schedule.
And LeadX listeners, a lot of you know I'm a big believer also in living life by schedule. And in fact, rather than even having a to-do list, I like putting it right on the calendar so I know exactly what to do each hour. And Luke, you were even kind in all those distractions at work. You didn't even mention all the social media and email that people will use as a form of procrastination. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who feel so busy these days really aren't even working an 8-hour day, and yet they could really focus a little bit more.
That's true. I had a friend who pastors in Albuquerque, a big church, and a lot of his staffers were complaining that they're working 50 and 60 hours a week. And so they called a company in there to measure how many hours the employees were actually working from a scientific standpoint. And they found that not one employee, when they take away all those distractions, was even working 40 hours a week. So a lot of times, because the church world, you know, we're here a lot, and we worship here, and we think that we're putting in a lot of time, but when we actually get down to the nuts and bolts, I think would be amazed. So when he made that report to his staff, they were like, oh man, we're not even working 40 hours.
It's not what they expected the report to come back with.
No.
So Luke, I mentioned in the pre-show introduction, but again, you know, your new book is The Dream-Centered Life, Discovering What Drives You. So tell us, what's the big idea of your book?
The big idea is life gets really fun and exciting when you live your life by a firsthand revelation from God or a dream, a God-given dream, as I like to call it. For the first 20 years of my ministry life, I'm convinced I was living on a secondhand revelation from God. That is, I love the Lord. I was raised in a great family. I love the church. I believe in the work of the church. But I operated according to the way my dad did things and the way that his dad did things, things that worked for them. And we saw fruit from that. We saw addition, you know. But I always wonder why we never saw that multiplication, that surge, you know, of God's presence and power in the churches that I was leading. Well, in 2013, I was given the baton of leadership here at Dream City Church, the church my dad pastored for 35 years. And I had been the lead pastor for 2 years, and things were going great. The church was growing, and I just felt a great peace in my heart. But the moment I got that baton, something happened. I went through a season of depression or oppression. I can't really figure out what it was exactly. But when I began to analyze my heart, I really believe it was because I didn't have a God-sized dream for the future of our church. And I knew that this church had always been led by a man with great vision, a man with a great dream. And I didn't have that. I could teach a little bit, I could preach, I could lead a little bit, but I didn't have that compelling dream. And so I did the only thing I knew how to do. There's a mountain right behind our church. And when I was a little boy, I'd watch my dad go up on that mountain every day. And he would pray and seek God, and he would take a cup of coffee, a newspaper, and his Bible. He'd read the newspaper with the Lord and in the morning and look over the city and just get vision, you know, from God. So I decided for 40 days, I'd go on a Daniel fast, eat nothing but bird seeds and twigs and, you know, fruit for 40 days and go on that mountain every single day. And on that mountainside during those 40 days, I learned a few things. I learned that, number one, that our church, this is back in 2013, I learned that our church was going to be 100 years old in the year of 2023. So I began to ask God, what do you see for our church in the year of 2023? What will we look like? What kind of ministry will we be doing? And supernaturally, on the side of that mountain, God began to show me a picture of our future that produced passion inside of me. A picture of, that's what vision really is. It's a picture of God's preferred future that produces passion inside of you. And after 40 days, I came down from that mountain and I shared with our church what I really felt our church was going to look like in the year 2023. There are five things that I really saw. Number one, I saw that we were going to be the arts hub of Arizona. In other words, most of the arts began in the church world, you know, hundreds of years ago. And we were already good at the arts. You know, we would do drama sketches. We have a Christmas production that starts tomorrow night, a Wednesday night. And we'll have about 50 to 60,000 people who attend this production over 16 performances. And so we're already really good at the arts, but I want to make the arts a focal point of our church. And to not see the big Broadway shows taking place at ASU or U of A, but coming to Dream City Church in this place, that was number one. Number two, that we would reach 50,000 people with the gospel of Jesus Christ by the year 2023. Now, at the time, we only had the one campus, and we have a large campus. We see 5,000 people, but I didn't know how that was going to happen. You know, I couldn't figure that out in my mind because 10 weekend services, right? How are you going to do that? But I didn't fight that dream. I just received it by faith. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I didn't push it away. The third thing that I saw on that mountainside was that we were going to train 100,000 leaders at our Dream Conference by the year 2023. We have an annual pastor school Dream Conference every year, and we were going to put that on steroids and train worldwide leaders out of that conference. Fourth thing I saw was that we're going to be debt-free by the year of 2023, and our church had not been debt-free in, you know, 25 years, but we were going to make plans to be debt-free. And then the last thing was that we were going to be a multi-site campus, that we were going to stretch our web of love all across the state of Arizona. And our dream, we've been saying, is that one day Arizona would be known as a Christian state. Now, people say, well, that's kind of a pipe dream. That's not going to happen. But it's happened before. There is precedence for this. You know, Utah is known as a Mormon state, and California is known for their entertainment, and Texas is known for their oil, their millionaires, and New York is known for their commerce, and Nevada is known for, you know, Las Vegas. We say, why can't there be one state that's known for those people who love Jesus. And so that's what we've been saying. We've been speaking that dream out there, and it's really kind of encouraged and gathered a lot of big thinkers around us who say, how can we realistically make that happen? And so that's what we've been dreaming of, you know, over the past couple of years. So those are the five things that I saw. And now here we are 3.5 years later, not with one campus. We have 6 physical campuses now. We've totally rebuilt the whole front of our church to accommodate the arts. And the year that I laid that vision out, our drama team came to us and said, we want to start doing a summer Broadway musical on campus. I think the last year we sold about 7,000 tickets to our summer musical, The Little Mermaid, here on campus. Just a full Broadway, better than Broadway production right here on the campus. That's happened now for 4 straight years. So we are becoming that arts hub of Arizona. Our Dream Conference has had a resurgence over the last couple of years, and we're training leaders all across the planet. And like I said, we now have multi-site campuses all over Arizona, even up into Utah now, Colorado City. So the things that God has done in just 3.5 years literally blows our mind. Going back to my statement where I said, ministry gets more fun when it's a firsthand revelation. Ministry was kind of drudgery for so many years. It was just very hard work and just staying in the game and fighting quitting all the time because we're just not seeing it. But over the past 3.5 years, we have seen things that only God could do. No person could ever do this. In fact, what God is doing, everyone gives glory to God because they all know there's no way that Luke Barnett or anybody else could pull this off. And so we are having the most fun. These are the most exciting days of the ministry because we're now living in that firsthand revelation.
This is really powerful stuff. And again, I want to sort of underscore some things for our listeners. I mean, I think so many of us, unfortunately, are taught, especially in the business world, about goals, and the classic acronym that I hate is to make them SMART, and the A is achievable. Mm-hmm. So I feel like most people will set goals, whether in their personal lives or you know, in whatever organization they work in, already thinking like, how can I achieve this goal? I'm not going to set this goal unless I know it is achievable. But you're saying the real power is to come up with a vision that is so fabulously big that there's no way you can alone achieve it, and you don't even know how it can be done without divine help, or certainly help of a lot of people coming up with some solutions, right?
I mean, that's right.
You can't come up with a vision that you already know you can succeed at.
Yeah. Well, again, this is a line that I didn't originate. I heard it somewhere, but I believe you have to let the size of your God determine the size of your goals. Let the size of God determine the size of your dream. If there's a goal or dream that you can make happen yourself, it's not a God dream. You don't need God. But so many times here, we not only ask God to help us, we are sunk unless God does help us. We have put ourselves out there. I've made statements to our church where I literally put God on the line and said, you know what, I believe that God wants us to do this. And unless God comes through, this whole thing is bound to fail. And I think that's really what faith is. Faith is sharing. I'm talking from a pastor's perspective now. I'm sure there's other folks who are listening who are not pastors. You know, I believe that secret faith is shallow faith. And you have to, once it's in your heart, you have to get it out there.
Sure.
And once you get it out there, people start networking. They get excited about it. It mobilizes people. And they start working on your behalf. And there's this crazy pastor who believes that Arizona is going to be a Christian state. And then business people who have affluence and means, they say, hey, what do we need to do to make this happen? You know, what kind of resources do we need to inject into this? Then other churches hear about this and they say, can we be a part of that? Can we give you our facility? We love that dream. We believe it can happen. And so many times I think that we hold the dream inside of us and it never gets out there or becomes active, you know, and working. Let me just say one more thing before we move on this point. The problem is we confuse the dream phase with the problem solving phase. And so many times when we get the dream in our heart, we try to figure it all out right there. And that's a dream killer right away. When you're trying to figure out how you're going to make it happen, that's the worst enemy of the dreaming phase. I think if you believe it's from God, you receive it by faith, you get it out there, and then slowly but surely, God begins to reveal, you know, how it's going to happen. And it may not happen in 1 year or 2 years. The multi-site dream didn't happen for 3 years into that process. That was the last thing that happened. But all of a sudden, when God was ready, suddenly it just took off.
And I do want to get a little bit deeper into this. You know, the subtitle of your book, The Dream-Centered Life, is Discovering What Drives You. And it's interesting that we're discovering. And you shared, I mean, in your example, you have this beautiful mountain behind you. You were able to climb up and you did this fast. I mean, what advice do you have for others who are trying to discover what truly drives them? What is a vision that's going to motivate them? Are there more like, hey, you know, if for all the listeners out there, if you're struggling with this, you should go out in nature for a while. You should try some fasting. Like, do you actually suggest some practical things like that?
You know, the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. And I think a lot of perhaps listeners, they kind of feel that slow perishing taking place on the inside year after year after year. It doesn't mean you keel over and die. It just means that over time, your shoulders start to slump a little bit. You know, you want to sleep in a little more. And the problem is, you just need fresh vision. One translation says, without revelation, the people cast off restraint. Now, in the Old Testament, the prophets got the revelation and gave it to the people. But in the New Testament, we're the ones responsible for getting the revelation from God about our future and then living it out. And so I believe that God withholds that revelation from people who really can take it or leave it or don't really want it. And I came to a place in my life where I just got fed up with that slow perishing feeling on the inside that season I went through. And so I took extreme measures. I said, I don't want this feeling anymore. And God gave me a vision that wasn't an easy vision. In fact, in my case, it was a lot harder. I didn't know how to raise $8 million for a new facility. I didn't know how to do multi-site. This is going to add a lot to my plate. But what happened was that perishing feeling went away. And it got replaced by a sense of a spiritual adrenaline that, you know, gets me up every single day, fired up now about what God is doing. So I would, if any listeners feel that slow dying on the inside taking place, I would encourage you to take 2 or 3 days and go to the mountains or go to the hills somewhere and sit under a tree and just say, God, I'm not going to leave this place until I get a fresh revelation from you. And when your friends and loved ones ask you, why are you doing this? Just say, because I want to know God's direction for the next 5 years of my life. And I'm fed up and I want to be fired up, you know, about God's plan for my future. So yes, by all means, I would suggest getting away and seeking God and, you know, withholding food from your body. And every time that pain comes up, remind yourself that I want God's dream for my life.
That's fantastic. Luke, what's the best way for people to find out about you, your book, and of course, Dream City Church?
Well, they can go online, dreamcitychurch.us, and you can follow us on all the social media platforms from there. If you want to pick up the book, you can go on Amazon, and the book is available there. It's also in Barnes & Noble stores all across America as well. So yeah, that's the best way to connect.
We will put all those links in the show notes and articles. And Luke, thanks for coming on to the LeadX Leadership Show.
Oh, thanks for having me. Bless you guys.
LeadX family, that wraps up another mentoring session packed with advice just for you. Before I go, I hope you'll remember that at LeadX, we're on a mission to give free leadership training and professional development to everyone, anywhere, at any time. Visit leadx.org to check out our free course of the day and our weekly live webinars. And if you're the kind of person who always says thank you, please take 1 minute to go leave a rating for the LeadX show on iTunes, because we're at 246 reviews and we need to get to 300. We get about 2 ratings a week, which is less than 1 per show. My heart is breaking. But big thanks to the new reviews from last month from Masahi, Annette's Guy, ZenTim69, Mike071966, Stacy H331, Kaplan and Carolina, Princess Rose Love, McGahee01, and Living with Intention. And of course, because leadership is influence and we are all leading all of the time, it's just a question of whether we're leading in a positive direction or a negative direction. How will you lead today?